Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Moise.
Let's have a word of prayer as we talk about the Word of God today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today, through your word, Father, you have many things to say to us. I pray as we study your word, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will strive mightily with our hearts and that we will seek to become more like Jesus and aim for a heavenly country above anything in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 5, James chapter 5. I know you're waiting for a verse, but just go to James chapter 5 for now. James chapter 5, and we'll actually start in verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. The title of today's exhortation is Praying for Rain. The Bible goes this way. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven. In verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now here comes our focus, verse 17 and verse 18. The Bible says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it will not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and how many months? 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This story in the Bible is a story that we read quite often, especially at anointing services. The prayer of a righteous man avails much, and we say it, and indeed some people we have prayed for, and they've been even healed from cancer. I know specifically of two individuals that were dealing with cancer. We prayed for them by God's grace, and they were healed. There were also other cases where the individual did not get healed. But when we think about this, sometimes we say, well, that is only for certain people. If a certain person prays, then it will happen, but that is not what the Bible tells us. As a matter of fact, if you go to verse 17, the Bible is very clear when talking about Elijah. It says, notice what it says there, the first clause. It says, Elijah was a man with what type of nature? A nature like ours. Let's understand what is the Bible referencing to and what story is this talking about. It's talking about the story found in the Old Testament of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 41 to 46. Let's go over there really briefly. And we're going to understand what this praying for rain is all about. 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to remind you, we're going to come back to James chapter 5. But for now, let's understand what is the Bible referencing to. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41, the story, the context of this passage is that there was a showdown between the prophets of Baal and the prophet of God. There was a drought for 3 years and 6 months. And the people, the children of Israel at the time, were worshiping the idols instead of worshiping the true God. Ahab, who was unfortunately married to a very evil woman, you know what her name is? Jezebel. Jezebel was a priestess of all of these activities, and she had influenced Ahab, and Ahab had no serious backbone, and he enforced and made sure that all of Israel, the Bible tells us, was with him in worshiping the idols. This showdown happened in verse 18, in chapter 18. Obviously, the prophets could not call fire down from heaven, because when you worship an idol, you are worshiping something that is man-made, and anything that is man-made, well, it will perish. But Elijah worshiped the one true God. And even before he said amen, fire came down and consumed his offering. It was such a dramatic showdown. And when that happened, all those prophets were to be slain. That was their judgment. But then there was still one thing that was missing, and that was rain. The land was still in drought. Until Elijah decided to do something in verse 41. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Here's how the story goes. It says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain.'" Notice through these verses very carefully. "So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servants, 'Go up now, look towards the sea.'" In verse 43, "So he went up and looked and said, 'There is what, my friends?' There is nothing." What is interesting to note is that Elijah is so sure that God was going to answer his prayer that when he went there, he told Ahab, "Ahab, I'm already hearing the sound of what? Of the rain. Ahab, I'm already hearing the sound of the rain." But when Elijah sends his servant to go up to the Mount of Carmel to look for the rain, what does he say he sees? Nothing. So, in verse 43, it says, "So he went up and looked, and there's nothing," the servant tells Elijah. And how many times? 7 times he said what? "Go again." Once he goes up, he says, "I see nothing." Elijah says, "Go again." Twice he goes again. Elijah says, "Go again." 3 times he says what again? "Go again." 4 times he says again what? "Go again." 5 times. He says what? "Go again." What do you think the servant is feeling right now? Elijah maybe has lost his mind. And though the Lord had brought fire down, now we're going to make a fool of ourselves in front of Ahab, because Elijah already told Ahab that he's hearing the sound of the rain. But here's the poor servant going up 5 times already, and he sees what? Nothing. 6th time. Elijah says again to his servant, "Go again." Praise the Lord for this servant. He's an obedient servant. Guess what he does again? He goes up, and what does he say? "I see nothing." 7 times. Elijah says, "Go again. In verse 44, let's tune in there to the story in verse 44. It says, then it came to pass the seventh time, and that he said, this is the servant, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain does what? The rain stops you. Notice carefully, how does the rain stop a chariot? How much must it rain? It must rain so much that the chariot cannot move. And Elijah at this point is still talking faith because all that the servant has seen is what? A small cloud. But Elijah tells him, this small cloud that you see, it's going to rain so much that if you're not careful, your chariot, Ahab, is not going to be able to move. I don't know about you, but this is extreme faith. The story continues. It says in verse 45, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Notice how this story goes. For how long had it rained? 3 years and a half. Elijah tells his servant six times, and on the seventh time, there he sees a small cloud. But the faith of Elijah is so sure that he already tells his servant, this small cloud that you see is going to become a thunderstorm of rain. Oh, my friends. When you're praying for rain, you're praying in faith. One day we're going to say this small group of Adventists, they are going to turn the world upside down. Though it is a small cloud, but one day the showers of blessing will fall upon the entire world. People will say, where are they? People will say, I don't see anything. But if we as the people of God keep praying for rain, the rain will fall. And the world will see the coming of the Lord. Praying for rain. Let's go back to James chapter 5. What a wonderful story this is. But the Bible is not done. In James chapter 5 and verse 17, notice what the Bible is trying to tell us, though, about this story, the biggest point that it sees. James chapter 5 and verse 17. Again, we read, Elijah was a man with a nature like what, my friends? Like ours. The one who had prayed for this rain was somebody who was human just like you. The one who had prayed for the rain, he had no special powers except for his relationship with the Lord. But yet when he prayed in faith, God was even able to make it rain. Where are the people today who are praying for rain? The story is told of King Alexander. You might have heard the story. Alexander, whenever he conquered a territory, he would invite three people every year to ask whatever they wished. Now, I don't know if this story is a parable, but they tell me it is a story of what Alexander did. But I want you to listen to the moral of the story, more importantly. There were three people he invited, and each of those three people could ask whatever they wanted. There was an interpreter that interpreted for King Alexander because they believed that he was a what? He was a demigod. And no human could talk to God freely. So he had this interpreter. The interpreter will go on and say, "Oh, what would you like from O great King Alexander, ruler of the known world? Whatever you wished, ask." The first person came, and what do you think the first person would ask? He says, "Oh, you know, my family is sick. I would like to have some things for my family. I'll also like to have food on the table for my family." The interpreter will go to King Alexander, and what is King Alexander's response, do you think? "Wish granted." The second person came on, and he asks, he says, "Oh, King Alexander, I would really like to get some furnishing for my house and a piece of land so I can plant food." The interpreter went back to King Alexander, and he told him the request, and what did King Alexander say? What do you think he said? "Wish granted." Now the third one came, and the interpreter with his introduction said, "Oh, what would you like of great King Alexander, ruler of the known world?" The third one said, "Oh, well, I would like a castle. And I would like this castle to be fully furnished. And I would like to host a banquet for all of my friends. I would also like to have land. I'll also like to have horses." At this point, what do you think the interpreter is doing? He's telling him, "Hey, man, look at what the other two said. Why are you asking all these things?" But the man was not done. He said, "No, I want more. I want land. I want furnishings." And at this point, the interpreter was starting to argue with this third man, telling him that it was too much. Alexander, seeing what was going on down there below, asked him, "What does this man want?" The interpreter told him, "This man has lost his mind. He wants a castle. He wants it to be fully furnished. He wants as well there to be able for his friends to have a banquet. He wants land and he wants horses." Alexander started to think about it. And he said, "Wish granted." He said, "Out of everybody here, including this interpreter, he's the only one who truly believes that I'm a king and I can give him those things." How do your prayers make God feel? Do they make him feel small or do they make him feel big? Do our prayers make God feel like he's the king of the universe, the one who put everything, all the stars in space? Or do our prayers make God feel as if he's a servant who has to make us feel good? Elijah understood something about prayer. Though he was a man just like you and I, he knew that when he prayed to God, he could even pray for rain and it will fall. The Bible tells us something about Elijah in verse 17. He says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he knew one thing, and that was to pray earnestly." I tell you, my friends, we are approaching a time in our earth's history where we're going to have to learn to pray for rain. As we look into the world, everything around us is looking as if we don't know what's going to happen next. Food prices are going up. Regular commodities are going up because the supply chain of the world is being interrupted. People are growing very anxious. And everything that we were accustomed to regularly getting, we're not sure if we're going to get all those things. Talk about people that are in construction. If you talk to people who are in construction, some of the things that they were used to getting, those things, now you have to wait, if you want a custom-made bed or different things, almost a year. Lumber. All of these things that we're accustomed to today, we don't know when they will change. But there's one thing that will never change. That is that we have a God who answers our petition. Everything in the life of Elijah was changing, but he knew that his God will never change. So he held on earnestly to the hand of the mighty God, and he says, God, I want rain. And it rained. But in order to pray this prayer, there are three simple steps that we must understand. If you and I today are going to learn to pray for rain, there are three things we need to understand about these type of prayers. Number one, go with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says it this way. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask for how many things? Oh, I only heard Brother Andrew. If we ask Him what, my friends? Anything. According to His will, He hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. You know, sometimes as Adventists, we're too frugal in our prayers. For real. We're like, maybe I ask God for too many things. Today I'm going to ask Him about this, and then tomorrow I'm going to ask Him about this. Maybe I'm overburdening God with my prayer request. But no, Jesus wants us to pray to Him without ceasing. Flood Him with your prayer requests. For He says, anything that you ask according to my will, it will be given to you. When a king tells you ask anything, what should you do? Ask for anything. Now, if it's a beggar who's saying you ask for anything, then maybe you should just ask him for a hug. But when a king tells you ask for something, ask for it. Elijah knew that he had this type of access. By the way, tell me, which kind of individual wakes up a king at 3 o'clock in the morning? The Bible, there's a story. This is just extra credit for you today. There's a story, there's a parable in the Bible. Which kind of individual will wake up a king at 3 o'clock in the morning? Do you know what that individual is called? A child. A child has no problem waking up their parent. Whether at 2 or at 3, I tell you, my friends, I'm going through that experience right now. So I'm talking from personal experience. I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. But we have that type of access with God because we are His children. Elijah knew that anytime he needed God, Daddy was there. But we have to learn to pray, and this is the point. We have to learn to pray according to His will. And in order to pray according to His will, we need to know what His will is. And that means studying the Word of God. If we neglect the study of the Word of God, we're not going to know what the will of God is. I can tell you 3 things for sure that the will of God is. One of them for sure is that He wants to save you. So any prayer that you pray for your salvation, God is going to answer. Amen? Number 2, He always will want to forgive you. So if you've done something, go to Him and God will forgive you. Amen? And number 3, for sure, God will always give you the best. Now, you might not know what the best is for you, but God knows what the best is for you. And if you say, Lord, may your will be done in my life, He will always give you what is best for your life. You might not know it, but in heaven, you will praise Him for it. Elijah prayed according to God's will. Number two, how did Elijah pray for rain? This is something that we must understand. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Oh, my friends, I hope that you see that the word of God is good. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. This point is very important for you and I. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. The Bible says it this way. It says, one who turns away his ears from hearing the law, even his what is an abomination, his prayer is an abomination. What is this talking about? If you and I are wanting to learn to pray for rain, we must do away with any willful sinning that we're doing. If you and I want to receive the blessings of the Lord, we must do away with any willful sinning that we're engaging in. My favorite author has this quote. It's found in Conflict and Courage, page 218. It says, and I read, Elijah searched his heart. He seemed to be less and less both in his own estimation and in the sight of God. It seemed to him that he was nothing and that God was everything. The reason sometimes why God calls us to pray without ceasing is because He wants to make sure that if He answers our prayers, we will not take the glory for ourselves. You see, when you're engaging in willful sinning, who is the center of your prayers? It's me. It's all about me. God will not bless somebody who's willfully sinning. Because if He blesses them, they would think that the course that they're engaging in is a blessed course. God is not going to answer our prayers because if He answered our prayers, it would lead to our destruction. My favorite analogy. What happens? Do children like sweets? I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to like sweets. But what happens if the parent, when the child has eaten an entire box of Snickers, the parent comes, my son and my child, I want to bless you with some more Snickers. Get as many as you want. I will, whenever you ask me, I will give it to you. What will happen to that child when he goes to see the dentist? The parents are going to lose a lot of money on that child. And that child's health is going to be destroyed. So God, out of His mercy, when He sees that we're willfully sinning, He's not going to bless you with better good things. Because if He does that, you will be destroyed. So you must search your heart and say, Lord, is there something in my life that is keeping away your blessings? For some, it might be paying tithe, returning your monies to the Lord. For some, it might be that you're not very faithful to your spouse. For some, it might be that your mind is being consumed with things that would shatter the heart of God. This is a very personal part of this prayer. That is why this prayer is between you and the Lord. Because you know that thing that you are willfully engaging in that you do not want to let go. But we must search our hearts. And when we let go of that, the Lord can bless us. Amen? And maybe your prayer should be, Lord, give me the victory over this sin. Lord, take away this thing that is hurting my life. And you know how the Lord takes away our sins? He shows us what that sin truly is, and He gives us something better. God never asks us to do something that He Himself is not willing to do. God never takes away something and gives us something worse. He always takes away something to give us something better. Amen? So Elijah, he went to the Lord. He searched his heart and he prayed earnestly. And here comes the last point. To pray earnestly means to humble yourself. Elijah humbled himself until all that he could see was the glory of God and not his glory. Elijah did not pray for rain so that Ahab would see that Elijah was a mighty man of God. Elijah prayed for rain because he wanted Ahab to know that there was a God in heaven who is even able to control the seasons. You know, there's one way to humble ourselves. And this point has taken me a lot of years to understand. I remember growing up, I grew up in church. So I've heard some very good sermons and seen some very good people. But there was one thing that I could never understand was, how do you humble yourself? The Bible, when you look from Genesis to Revelation, it talks a lot about humility. It talks, for example, about Moses, how he was the meekest man on earth. How do you reach that point? Because selfishness, if you're honest with yourself, we are very selfish people. As I was thinking about this point, I realized something in the Word of God. When you study very carefully the prayers of the greats in the Bible, they always started with praise. Let me say that again. When you study the prayers of the Bible, those mighty prayers always started with praising the Lord. Just stick with me. The way to learn to humble yourself is to learn to be grateful. To learn that you depend upon the Lord and not upon yourself. Self-exaltation and self-pity have the same father. That is pride. It's all about me. Sometimes people that have a lot of self-pity are very prideful because it's all about me and how I feel. Now, feelings are important, but we make decisions based on truth. The same for self-exaltation. When a person is self-exalting themselves, what are they trying to do? They're trying to prop up their self. It all has the same root, pride. But when you learn to be grateful, you learn to be humble because you learn that you're dependent upon God. And when things happen in your life, they don't hurt you as bad because you know there's somebody else who's in control. When somebody doesn't treat you well, that's okay. When somebody says something to you or things are not going your way, that's okay. Because ultimately, who do you depend upon? Upon the Lord. There's no place for self when you have learned to become a grateful Adventist. That is why Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice how many times? Always. And again he says what? Rejoice. My last quote from my favorite author here, Conflict and Courage, page 218. She says, Elijah searched his heart. He seemed to be less and less, both in his own estimation and in the sight of God. It seemed to him that he was nothing and that God was everything. And when he reached the point of renouncing self, while he clung to the Savior as his only strength and righteousness, the answer came. And the drops of water, one upon another. And soon the thunder and the rain soaked them in the blessings of God. Elijah was a man just like you and I. But he had learned that God was a great God. He had learned to renounce his sin and to only seek the glory of God. And when you and I do that, all that God can do is smile and make it rain. Today, you and I, we're going to need to pray for rain. We're going to need to pray for the rain of revival. We have been in a drought for too long. And the world is gaining upon us. While we have to sound the loud cry and preach the three angels' message of the good news of the Lord of His return, in order to do that, we need to be filled with the showers of blessings of God. So my appeal to you today, is, are you willing to pray for rain? Are you willing to pray for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? If that is your answer, I'll invite you to stand up with me. And as we stand up together, we're going to offer a special word of prayer. Now, there might be things, areas in your life that you need to surrender to the Lord. My business is not to know what that is. That's between you and the Lord. But today you have an opportunity to give it up. And you know that when you give it up, God is going to give you something much better. But you will only know that if you pray in faith and take Him at His word. Are you willing to give up your cherished sins? Are you willing to be set free of the shackles that bond you? Are you willing to experience the grace of God and the power and the showers of blessings He wants to pour upon your life? If you are, let's pray together as we go to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Elijah was a man just like us. But he knew that you were a great God. Today, here we are as your people. We are so weak. Some of us are broken. Some of us are going through a crisis. Some of us are dealing with literally demons. Some are dealing with addictions. It might not even be physical addictions. It might be mental types of problems that we're going through. But Lord, today we ask you to break all those shackles. Take away the sin that we so dearly love and replace it with your love. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Renew our mind and renew our heart. And Lord, may we pray for the rain of your revival upon our lives, that we may be able to be a people prepared for the coming of our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, may you come very soon is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.